Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Deborah Cobray.
If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be looking tonight at different passages of Scripture, and the title of tonight's message is How to Overcome Everything. I told you it was very ambitious, but I have to tell you how this started. And I was having lunch, actually we were having dinner with some dear old friends of ours, and they're ministers and they travel all over the world. And we were having a conversation about family, and they had had a breach in their family for years. And it hadn't been healed, and at Thanksgiving it was all put back together, and they were so thrilled and they were telling us about it. And we were talking about offenses, and we were talking about how families can just shake apart, and marriages can shake apart, and churches can shake apart over offenses, and how easy it is for people to be offended, how easy it is for our lives to change and for our attitudes to switch off. And she said to me, she said, yes, this couple that were in our family who they loved, they had good reasons to be offended, but they didn't have any right. And that's all she said to me. And the penny dropped in my spirit. And God spoke to me and he said, I want you to write that down. I want you to write that down because that is actually a revelation that I want you to live in your own life. And I want you to remember it. You may have good reasons to dot, 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 but you have no rights. I'm going to say it again, and we're going to say it all through this message because I want you to come away with this tonight. This is the thought. This is what we're going to look at tonight. And it has to do with slavery. It has to do with we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And it has to do with the world that we live in and the culture that we are born into and Christianity in the 21st century. And we may have good reason to fill in the blank. I may have good reason to dot, 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 be offended. I may have good reason to want to quit this relationship and get out of this marriage. I may have good reason to not serve God right now. I'm hurt. I don't understand. Where's my faith? But I have no rights. And that's the key. And that's the revelation. Because when that penny drops, when that thought sinks in, when that revelation comes into our spirit, all of a sudden what was bad and impossible and wrong suddenly becomes doable and possible and subject to change. Because we've now walked out of the kingdom of darkness and the flesh where we lived, our default program, what we were born into, and we are now operating in the kingdom of God where there is light, where there is possibilities, where there are no possibilities, where there is great grace, and there are miracles, and God is at work with people who will believe and obey. So tonight, having said that, let me start off with this quote, because I thought it was good, but let me give you the foundation scripture for tonight's message is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live, I now live in the flesh. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul wrote and said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I'm dead, but now I'm alive. I've been crucified, but now there's resurrection. You see, we're after Easter right now. We just came off of a great Easter service. And as pastors for 30 years, Jim and I know exactly how pastors feel. It's your biggest Sunday. You wait for it the weekend. You see the potential of what God can do when everybody shows up at church. And then the next weekend, it's usually your smallest service outside of daylight savings in the spring when you spring up and fall back. You know, spring up, everybody's an hour late, so nobody shows up. Those are just pastoral tips. But you see, whenever there's a death, with God there will always be resurrection life. Whenever something looks terrible, whenever something sounds horrible, with God, there's always what could never be, the possibility of the God of the impossible and the God of the miracles. But we've got to stop living in the kingdom of darkness, the flesh, the natural world, which is where we live, but it's not of whose we are. And we have to step into the realm of faith and the supernatural and God's kingdom. And I know I'm a broken record about the kingdom of God, but God said, "Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This is about you and I learning to live in the kingdom of God, earthside right now, understanding what this kingdom is all about, reverencing the king and loving him for sake of the king, my Lord the king, and then working in that and operating in that kingdom. If you don't understand it, how can you operate in it? So I've spent the last 40 years with Jim learning this stuff, living this out. Now in our old age, we're stepping back and we're looking, and our job now is to encourage. Yes, we're growing. Nothing stays the same. We'll never get there. We haven't reached anything, but we're pressing towards the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Jim and I are pressing in and pressing towards more faith, more miracles, more what God has for us until he allows us to come home and we cease this life. And we're finally home. But until that time, you and I and all of us are in a growing state, learning about this magnificent king and his kingdom. And he says, through Paul, his apostle, "I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Oswald Chambers was a great missionary. He didn't live long. I think he was 30, 33 when he died. I'm not sure how. He was in his early 30s. He was an Englishman. He went to Egypt, and there he contracted a disease, and he died. He didn't do a lot. He didn't have a lot of earth years, and yet he wrote the most magnificent books, My Utmost for His Highest. He's famous, and God used this young man's life, and he wrote this in My Utmost for His Highest. He said, "The passion of Christianity is that I deliberately sign away my own rights, and I become a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Until I do that, I do not begin to be a saint." May I read that to you one more time? This was a man who gave his life on the mission fields of Egypt, the turn of the 20th century, early in the 20th century. "The passion of Christianity is that I deliberately sign away my own rights and become a bondslave of Jesus Christ. Until I do that, I do not begin to be a saint." He began a school in Egypt, and this is what he said concerning his Bible college in Egypt. "One student a year who hears the call of God would be sufficient for God to have called this college into existence." One student a year. This college is an organization not worth anything. It is not academic. It is for nothing else but for God to help himself to lives. Is he going to help himself to us, or are we taken up with our own conception of what is going to be? You see, there's a difference between living saved, which God fits into my life, or living called, which means I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. My life comes under the authority of the King, and I'm a bond slave, a slave by choice to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, to say that, and I know this is a touchy subject because when we think of slavery, it is unpleasant. When we think of forced slavery, we all of us cringe, and so did the New Testament writers, because the word doulos, which is the word for slave, D-O-U-L-O-S, I believe is how you spell it, and I'm probably wrong. You can fact check me on that. But the word doulos is the word for slave, and yet our translators translated it most often as servant. Now, there are six other Greek words for servant. Doulos is only the word for slave. But it's found as bondservant and servant and not slave in the New Testament. And I believe it might be because of distastefulness of slavery. When this was written, when Jesus walked the earth, let's go back just to first century Christianity and to the culture for just a moment. One third of the Roman Empire were slaves. That's a lot of slaves. They estimate that one-third were freed slaves in the city of Rome itself, and the rest were freedmen, Roman citizens. Paul the apostle was a Roman citizen. That's why he was not crucified or sent to the arenas for a torturous death. He was beheaded as a quick death because he was a Roman citizen and he was a free man. You see, in our culture today, Americans believe in civil liberties and freedom. We fight for it. We are very, very proactive when it comes to social justice. What is right and what is wrong. What should be and what shouldn't be. We stand and we march. Listen, you're looking at a woman that used to march with the women's liberation movement back in the 70s when I was in college. I understand civil liberties, and I understand being riled up about injustice and social injustice, because if you look at this world, it's not a fair world. It's not an even level playing ground. It never has been, and it never will be. We cannot legislate right hearts and morality. It's only a heart that can be changed by Jesus Christ, that is born of the Spirit of God and taken out of the kingdom of darkness and a fallen state of sin into the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that we can even begin to be just and begin to see what is right and what is wrong. Otherwise, we're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what man thinks is right, what man thinks is wrong. And God says there's none good but God. Only what God says is right. Jesus said, what is truth? Thy word is truth. When Pilate looked at Jesus at his trial and he said, what is truth? Jesus said nothing, but then in his prayer in John 17, he said, thy word is truth. God's word is irrefutable. What God says is and is truth. And as the rains come down from the heavens and water the earth and does not return, in Isaiah 55, God says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will accomplish that which I purpose. Why? Because he's God Almighty. We know by faith that God spoke the world into existence. God is God, and who are we to think that we can tell God what to do? And sometimes I think my Christianity is about how much I'm loved, and I am irresistibly loved. God's love is irresistible. He loved me so much that he sent his only begotten son for me. I'm told that I can have my dreams and my visions, and delight thyself in the Lord, and you'll have the desires of your heart, and that's true. His rewards are undeniable. And yet, there is that spot, and there is that place in my faith and my Christianity where I must come before the King of the universe and the sovereign of all creation. And I must recognize that he is God and I am not. That I am bought with a price. I've been purchased with his blood. I have been paid for by God himself, and my life is not my own. It belongs to him, and I become a slave by choice, not by chance. Church, I don't know what's coming down the pike. I don't know what the future is going to hold for us. I don't know what the 21st century will evolve into. But I know that there will be a church on the earth that will be sold out. A church that will not care whether they prosper or they don't prosper. They're not in this for the bucks or the glory. They are in this for one reason and one reason only. It is to see the return of the King, for love of the King, for the fight of the King, and for the will of the King to be done. Come hell or high water, we will come under his authority. And we will be his servants. And that word, slave. So I thought maybe I could just go over a few scriptures with you tonight, and then we'll get to point two. Is that all right? You okay with me? I told you the word for slave and for servant was doulos. It is found over 150 times in the New Testament. The imagery of slavery is negative. And if you're African American in here, your ancestors, if you didn't immigrate from Africa, your ancestors were most likely slaves. If you were a Roman citizen, like I said, in the first century, there was a 30% chance that you would have been a slave. There was a 60% chance that you would have been freed or you were a slave, because Rome conquered nations and they enslaved human beings. For one man to own a mother, to own another, is, of course, absolutely wrong. And I'm not saying that. And the translators knew how distasteful this was. So let's look at slavery in itself. Bondservants, Ephesians 6, 5 through 9. Let's just look at some words in here. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says, bondservants, be obedient, because there was slavery. There was actual slavery going on when Paul was writing these letters and Peter and the apostles were preaching the gospel. There was Roman slavery. That's the world they lived in. They didn't fight against it. They didn't march against it. They didn't try not to be slaves. God did not eradicate slavery, not yet, but he did control it with what he said slaves should be and masters should be. So in a normal Roman church like this, you would have had slaves and you would have had masters, all sitting together, because in the community of the church, everything changed. So even though it wasn't eradicated yet, it changed greatly. And we're looking at slavery, all right? So hang on with me. Bondservants, slaves, doulos, be obedient to those who are your masters. You can't be a slave without a master, and you can't be a master without slaves. Jesus knew this. This was the world they lived in. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. What? I'm to obey my master? That's what God said? Yes, because there's a reason, and I'll show you in a minute. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. There's that word, bondservant, slave. And you masters, do the same things to them. To who? Your slaves. Giving up threatening and knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there's no partiality. So we know there was slavery. Romans 6:20 says, speaking of righteousness and sin, speaking that you and I were enslaved. Now this is where they were translated slaves, not servants, the word doulos. It's the same word, 150 times you'll find it in the New Testament. For when you were slaves, doulos of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. In other words, you were a slave to sin, you couldn't do righteous. Righteous means to do right and be right. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? When you were in the world and you were in the slavery of sin, what fruit was in your lives? What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now you've been set free from sin and having become slaves of God. Is that what your Bible does? Having become slaves of God, is that what it says? Slaves of God. You have your fruit unto holiness, and to the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Famous verses. What is he saying? You couldn't serve God in your old nature. That's why you have to be born again. Because we're sold into slavery, sold into sin. You don't want to do it, but you do it anyway. Anybody ever did drugs? Anybody ever did wrong things? You hate yourself. You wish you never did it, but you go back to it. 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 You couldn't stop. All of a sudden, God comes into your life and he frees you from the law of sin and death, and you become a slave of righteousness. Righteousness is to be right with God and to do right for God. Simple definition. Be right with God, do right for God. There it is. It's about as simple as this lady can make it. Now you can be right with God because of the blood of Jesus, because now he's translated me out of that darkness. He's reconnected me to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Father, Jesus Christ has connected me to the Father. That's what born again is. I was dead. I was separated from God. But now I'm given new life. I am born again. You see, the definition of death is not a ceasing to exist. It's separation. When God said, if you sin, you're going to die. He says, if you sin, if you disobey my word, you're going to be separated from me in spiritual death. That's what happened to the planet. That's why he had to send his son. It had to be God in the flesh, because only God could take the keys of death and hell and pay the final price that sin demanded, death. Only God could do that. So God wrapped himself in flesh, and now when he translates me out of that darkness and brings me into the kingdom of God through the blood of his son, through faith in Jesus Christ, now I become a slave of righteousness. Now I am absolutely sold out to being right with God by the blood of Jesus and being able to do right for him by the grace of God. All right, little theology. Philemon was a slave owner. Paul wrote the book of Philemon to a rich man who owned slaves. He had a slave named Onesimus who ran away, and he found Paul and he found salvation. So Paul writes this letter to this wealthy slave owner and says, let him stay with me. Forgive him. I'll send him back to you. But I'd really like him to be with me because he's beneficial for me. So we see that somehow the kingdom of God, even though there was hell to pay on the earth and injustice and unrighteousness and social disorder and social injustice, the church was able to step into the kingdom of God and step into a new mindset and overcome everything and live and not die and spread this gospel to the ends of the earth. That's a miracle. But there was a kingdom working for them, and they were in and operating in the power of God because they understood some things. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? This is a mindset of kingdom. This is not a mindset of the earth. This is a mindset of who we are in Christ, what our mission is in Christ, and what the kingdom of God is all about. Because in the kingdom, everything is different. Everything is different. God's ways are not our ways, but he wants us to know them, and he wants us to move in them because there's power in his kingdom. Philemon was a slave owner. The whole idea of redemption is about buying back and purchasing back slaves. That's the whole idea. We are redeemed. We are bought back. Somebody owned us. Are you hearing me? This is an idea. This is a concept. You see, if I walk around as a believer wondering what the will of God is, always offended, always going my own way, always thinking my own thoughts, not seeing my life change, it's because I don't understand. And I still am operating in my own power and not the power of God. Now, I either can switch over or I can stay where I'm at and live out my life saved. I'll get to heaven, but I'll never see the miraculous or change my world or come into my destiny as the called of God if I don't do this. You see, I may have rights, I may have just reasons to be the way I am and do what I do, but I no longer have any rights to do that because I am a slave by choice of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My body, my spirit, my breath, my life, my existence no longer belongs exclusively to me. It now belongs to the one that purchased me in his blood. Are you hearing me? When the penny drops, suddenly perspective changes and you realize, I may have reasons, but I don't have rights. So therefore, my reasons don't mean a thing, but my rights belong to exclusively to him, and I have to do what he says, not what I feel. Romans 14:7 says, none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. Positions and callings. Let's talk about that for just a minute. We're talking about slavery, about the Bible translates it servants. So you can call it servants. It doesn't matter. The real word is slave. And not in the negative, as in human slavery, but in choice slavery, that I choose to bind myself to the King of Kings and to follow him and obey him. It's my choice. That's the difference. But let's look. Peter, in 1 Peter 1:1, Simon Peter, a bondservant, a bondslave, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:1, Paul, a bondslave of Jesus Christ. James 1:1, half-brother of Jesus Christ, a bondslave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, a bondservant. You see, even the highest of the high saw themselves as the lowest of the low. They identified with the idea and the truth that I am no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. I am now a bondservant, a bondslave to the one who bought me and paid for me. That was their mindset. That's why they could go to prison. That's why the early church could be wrapped in animal skins and walk and march into the Colosseums and be torn apart by wild beasts. Because even though as horrific as that was, their lives were serving a purpose. They had quick deaths and they had young lives, but those lives speak to you and me today that there was a church that wasn't afraid to die. There was a church that wasn't afraid to stand up to the most awesome regime in the world that had ever seen, Nero and Caesar and Rome itself, the legs of iron that crushed every civilization around it. They were not afraid to do what God said to do, which was to love their enemies, not to march against slavery, not to rile up and to march against the government, but to believe the real government that they belong to. We are in this world, but we are not of it. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Otherwise, my servants would fight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm not saying not to vote. I'm not saying don't disagree. But I'm saying to stand there and get yourselves riled up. We're missing the power of where the real power is. Because Jesus said, when you pray for your enemies, when you pray for those over in authority over you, when Paul wrote to Timothy in prison, imprisoned by Nero, who was enslaving and lighting up Christians in the marketplaces with oil and tar, he said, pray for your leaders over you, your government, your Caesars, pray for them that you may lead peaceable and godly lives. You see, the power of prayer begins to kick in, and the kingdom of goodness and the kingdom of love and the kingdom of power begins to overwhelm the kingdom of darkness, because we cannot overcome evil with evil, but we can overcome evil with good. Romans 12:21. There's a power that we've not tapped into because we still operate in the flesh, and we waste our energies and our times being upset with each other, being offended, being mad, splitting up our marriages, splitting up our churches, splitting up everything, because we don't understand that we are not our own. I may have good reasons to feel this way, but I have no rights to do what my flesh wants to do. I have lost my rights because I am bound in the Spirit to Him. So the concept is that we are servants, bond slaves of Jesus Christ. Let me just quickly go through this with you. What is a slave? Let's just look. Well, a slave has exclusive ownership by another. You are purchased. You don't have free will or freedom to leave. You have to stay with the one that bought you. That's in the natural. In the spirit realm, God uses it as a metaphor and says you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You were bought. In 1 Peter 1:18, it says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Number two, a slave must have absolute loyalty to death. Galatians 2:20, I read it to you. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. And the life I live in faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Number three, what's a slave? Unconditional obedience. A slave doesn't wonder what to do. A slave is told what to do. And I remember Oswald Chambers wrote once and said, even a servant has the right to know what his master wants. As servant slaves, we have the right to know the will of God, or we can't do it. God wants you to press into his will and know his will, because a slave was given orders and directions, and if they weren't quite sure, they did what they knew would please their master. That's our job. How about this one, number four? Complete dependence on him. A slave has absolute and total dependence on the master. As horrible as it is in the natural, they didn't buy or sell or earn. A servant, by the way, can be hired and fired, and he can leave. A slave couldn't. Now, in the kingdom, slavery is a completely different thing. Jesus said, all you who labor and are heavy laden,
Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. I'm in this with you. I'm double yoked with you. I'm with you in this problem. I'm with you in this life. I'm with you because you are me and I am you and we are one together. And I have bound myself to you as my church and I have bound myself to my King. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He's with me in everything. So how does this mindset relate to my everyday life? And how can this change the way I think and act? What does this mean? I'm a slave. I'm a bond slave by love. Well, here's the mindset, and I've been saying it all along. I have good reason to fill in the blank, but I have no right to fill in the blank. I have good reason to be offended, but I have no right to be offended. I have good reason to break up my marriage. I feel I'm in a loveless marriage. I feel like he doesn't care, she doesn't care. But you see, in the kingdom, I may have good reason, but I have no right. Because God has said, let marriage be held in honor. And a Christian woman is not to leave her Christian husband, and a Christian husband is not to divorce his Christian wife. But if they do separate, let them separate for a season and come back together. Why? Because what can't be restored in the natural, the love of God can fix and heal and forgive and restore and make new. It's the only way. I may have good reason to want to do drugs and alcohol. But I have no right because I belong to God. Oh, God, help me to put this addiction aside. I am your bond servant, your bond slave. Give me the grace to say no every day and walk with me and help me through this thing. Because he says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I was delivered from so many things. Why? Because I had a faithful God that as I stepped out in obedience, he stepped in with power to change my life. Just like the woman with the oil jar, she had to go out and collect them. We got to start as his servants and his slaves, but he comes with power and says, now watch me help you change this mess into your message. Change this trouble into absolute blessing. Watch me take the things that were meant for evil. Watch me turn around and make them for good. Because all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. The mindset, I may have good reason to be offended, but I have no right to be offended. Let's just talk about this for just a minute, and then we'll quit. You okay with this? What is an offense? Let's just take offenses, all right? Let's just pick one thing out of our lives. I live in a world right now where everybody's mad and everybody's offended. The left is mad at the right is mad at the left, and there's nothing in between. There's just some kind of whatever they say there is, swamp or some kind of cover-up or whatever. Anybody tired of it beside me? Could we just be Americans and live and fix some problems here so we can be a country? But we're divided, and Satan knows divide and conquer. God says that there's a law of unity in the kingdom, that unity brings the blessing. Unity brings the blessing, the double blessing of God. But Satan knows if you can divide and conquer, you can shake apart anything, a kingdom, a family, a marriage, a church, a life, anything. So he causes offenses. The word offense in the Greek is scandal, and it originally meant a bait trap. Like when you've ever made a trap to catch a bird as a little kid. Anybody ever done that? Was it just me back in the 50s? Okay, well, you know, you had that little stick and you had the box and you had the bait, and as soon as that little bird, or we caught chipmunks, got into the box, we pulled the stake and boom, the box falls and they're caught in the trap. Scandal. It means bait. It means a trap. Offenses. Offenses mean a sideslip, a lapse, an error. It can be intentional or unintentional. It can be a fall, a fault, a sin, or a trespass. Webster's Dictionary defines offenses as a breach or a moral or social code. a breach, a gift, a gap, or a rift in a solid structure, a disruption of friendly relations, a rupture, a tearing, or a renting. That which was whole becomes divided. Offense. That which is whole becomes divided. Now, Satan knows, because Jesus said that a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So all Satan has to do is begin to divide you. Divide you in your families, divide you in your faith, divide you in your politics, divide you in whatever, whatever. And once he does that, he's now got a rift and a gap, and he's beginning to shake apart your life. So let's look at offenses. I may have good reason to be offended, remember my little thought, but I have no right to be offended because I'm bought with a price. I've become a slave, a bondservant to Jesus Christ, and my life is hid in Christ. It is he that lives in me, not myself, because I have been paid for. Are you with me? Okay, so I'm offended. I've been hurt. Let's just walk through the scenario. What does Jesus say to do? Remember, I'm a bond slave. Jesus said, well, you got to forgive. I don't want to forgive. I may have good reasons not to forgive. It's a snake, a scoundrel. You see, forgiveness isn't for me. I'm sorry, forgiveness isn't for them. It's for me because they don't care. Most of the time, they don't even know you've forgiven them. It's about me because if I don't forgive, I'm still in prison. I'm still in the trap. I'm still in the offense. I'm still in the snare. And Jesus knows that if I can't forgive, I won't be forgiven. Because according to Scripture, if you do not forgive others their trespasses, your Father in heaven will not forgive you. So I stand isolated in a place where I can't hear from God. I can't get the blessing of God. And I can't move on because I'm too stubborn and I'm too hurt. Pride of opinion or whatever in my life, I'm offended. And God says, Oy vey, what are you doing? You can be free. All you have to do is release the offense and move on with me. Why? Because you're dead. You're a slave. You're my servant. You're in a different kingdom. You're operating in the flesh, but that's not where the power is. The power is in the kingdom of God, and I've translated you into my kingdom, but you've got to obey me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you got to release it. Let it go, because as soon as you let it go, you get out of prison. You get free. And God can move on in your life. Listen, this can happen everyday marriages. Jim and I retired. I mean, listen, we are together 24/7. Oh my gosh, nobody told me about retirement. We can pick at each other and micromanage each other and mountains out of molehills. You know, because you just are together all the time. Where before he had his thing and I had my thing and off we went and did our things, came back and it was great. Now our things are together. So circumstances change, seasons change. There's all kinds of reasons to be offended. There's all kinds of little foxes that can spoil your life and your vines. But you see, God says, change your mindset. You may have good reason to be offended, but you have no right to be offended, because you belong to me, exclusively to me, and you're to obey me, and I will take care of the problem. Just forgive and pray and let go, and it'll all work out, because all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. Beloved, I'm out of time. I no longer have the right to behave like my old self wants, because I'm a bond slave to Jesus Christ. And I am under obligation to obey and come under the authority of my King and my God. His name is Jesus. Now, what happens when you do this? Just two thoughts to remember tonight. I'm a bondservant. I'm a slave of Jesus Christ by choice. As horrible as slavery is in the natural, I'm not talking about that kind of slavery. I'm talking about the one that loved me and gave himself for me. His irresistible love drew me, and I said, I have to be with you, and I am your servant by choice, by choice. Because of that, I now belong exclusively to him, and I'm no longer free to feel and behave and act like my old self wants to. So, number one, remember you're a slave. Number two, ask yourself, okay, I may have reasons to... but I don't have the right to behave or feel this way because I belong to him. And he's got a different way for me to navigate through this mess. Two things. I'm a slave. I may have good reasons, but I have no rights. Did you get something out of tonight?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.